3 important facts about me. 1, I love dogs. 2, love video games. 3, generally sad sometimes.
Hey, that's a solid introduction. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's what's up. I am a ace cisgendered man.
Just ace or aro ace?
Let's pause and go over some terminology real quick before we get into the conversation. And bear with me if this is old hat to you. Aro is short for aromantic, which is when a person is uninterested in romantic relationships. And ace is short for asexual, which is when a person is uninterested in sexual relationships. You'll hear aroace, meaning both, as well as aspec, referring to the spectrum of asexuality. These can be tricky concepts, so there are links in the show notes to further information. I've known Ryan for a long time. He's one of my very best friends and my go-to guy for texting stupid videos and awful jokes that I can't tell anyone else, but also just for saying I'm sad when I need someone. As Ryan said in the intro, he's not really here for romantic or sexual relationships, so I thought, who better to interview for my podcast about love? I'm Sophie Kaner, and this is Edges.
I was using Aro Ace for a while. Mm-hmm. I recently dropped off the Aro. I think on Twitter now, my bio just says queer.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you don't need to know. But it's one of those things where I don't know how I fit in the community. It's not necessarily that I'm not aromantic. It's I don't know if I necessarily belong in the community of people who are using that label also.
So who do you think does belong in that community?
I guess it's people who are very confident in the way that they can separate romantic and sexual attraction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is... I guess we've talked about this before, but it's like...
Our favorite topic.
But it's like a tricky thing, I feel like, with identifying as asexual or aromantic, because it's the absence of something. So it's like proving the absence of something...
It is very hard to quantify.
It is very hard, yeah.
Am I sure I'm not feeling X feeling? And I feel like the concept of being romantically attracted to something or someone or whatever is way more nebulous and fine-tuned to individual people than even sexual attraction, where it's sort of, you can very generally say, I'm into women, or I'm into men, or I'm into both, etc. I'm into everyone. And you can sort of, you can break it down from there, but like, to be romantically attracted only to someone is, I feel like, such a nebulous thing, and it doesn't fit into, besides being completely on or completely off.
So, basically, you just, like, stopped feeling confident enough about it to feel like you could keep that label?
It's that, and then it's also the bit about, I'm not necessarily sure that my views on aromanticism necessarily align with everyone else's views on it. And so, I've pulled away, and I'm just like, I don't know if it works for those who... You want to use it, totally go for it, have fun, it's a great time. Not for me, I don't think okay. It necessarily describes me. The quick and dirty on, and you know this, you were there, the quick and dirty on how I figured out I was ace was I was sitting in your house and you bullied me.
Busted.
No. No, I was sitting in your house and we were talking about it, and I didn't know that this was a thing at the time to be asexual. We were just like, you know, going through like, well, do you feel sexual attraction? And I'm like, probably not based on the everything about me. And so, you know, I went home and I went to the first place one goes to when they want to research something, Tumblr. spent a long time in the tags, just sort of being like, well, what's this about? And what are people talking about? And I'm just slowly starting to put together all the pieces of, you know, like, what is sexual attraction? What's the split attraction model? Does it work for me? At the time, yeah. Now, I don't know. But if anybody heard that, they would probably be grumpy with me, but it's fine.
What would they be grumpy with you about?
It's a generally understood and accepted viewpoint from the aspec community, you know, encompassing both asexuals and aromantics. It's generally understood to be true.
The split attraction model?
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit in case not everybody listening may know. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'll do my best. It's the notion that instead of just being generally attracted to someone, you can subdivide your attraction into sort of two ideas. The first being sexually attracted to someone, which is I want to do sexual things on, with, and next to them. And then there's the romantic beast, where it's just like completely devoid of sexual things. I would like to proceed in romantic activities with another person, basically.
So I think on the face of it, that sounds reasonable. Probably, I would think it would sound reasonable to most people, for example, because I think most people accept that you can, you know, have casual sex with somebody without being in love with them, right? So you'd have to be able to separate sexual and romantic feelings to some extent. I think maybe where you might start to lose people is it possible to be romantically attracted to somebody without any sexual component? I think, and maybe you can, but I think that is probably the point at which a lot of people would say, I'm not sure about that.
It's certainly where it breaks down for me, where I'm just like, I don't want to engage in both of in either of these things, and it makes it very difficult to then separate them and actually, you know, concretely know that I don't like them, right? but there are loads of people who very successfully navigate a romance-only relationship, and good on them, but it's not something that I personally know how to do. Mm-hmm. Right?
Is it something that you would want to do?
Want is a strong word. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not looking for it.
Okay.
I haven't been in a relationship in, what year is it? In 2019. I haven't been in a relationship since Bush was president. The second one, not the first one. I'm not that old. But yeah, so it's been a decade,
yeah,
or more,
yeah,
and yeah, it's not. I don't know. I'm fine, relatively speaking, without it.
You're 29, also, right?
I am. Yeah, I'm old now.
And you kind of came to this realization about being ace. When was it?
That was, I'm going to say, 2 years ago now? Three?
Yeah, that's
two and
right.
Change? Yeah, yeah, something
so
like that.
So you were 26 or 27.
Yeah, and at that point, I had been long removed from the game, as it were, for years. I went on a date in college.
Mm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this isn't nice. She was very nice person and we became friends, but like it was not for me. So yeah, it's been a while.
But as I recall, because we've been friends for, I don't know, what, 10 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely remember, like, over the course of that time, you talking about having sexual attraction and sexual feelings.
Sure, yeah.
And so, looking back on that, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like those things were true at the time? Do you feel like you were just saying what you felt like you were supposed to say?
I think there was a large amount of attempting to fit in with everyone. It's one of those things where I think I have been surrounded by people who enjoy talking about sex in one way or another forever. basically. Whether it's like we were teens in high school or during college or and even now, it comes up all the time. And so I feel like just to fit in, it was one of those things I had to be like, well, people talk about this. I should just have a small list of things that I like to talk about and just go from there, even if it's not true. You know, but hindsight's 2020. So like, who knows? It's very messy to like go back and sort of be like, have I been ace the whole time?
Right.
Like my gut says yes. Like my gut is telling me every sexual encounter, every date, every relationship, there's been an air of this sort of asexual mindset, if you will, that has encompassed everything I've done. So I trust that it's mostly been my whole life, but not 100% sure.
So, to my understanding, when it comes to people who are asexual, there's people who kind of feel neutral about sex, like, and I feel like those are often the people who can functionally be in relationships with people who are sexual, because it's not on their mind, but they can do it every so often. That's fine. And then there's the people who are, like, repulsed by the idea of sex. Is that where you would say you are?
I think sex is fascinating. Mm. I get endless enjoyment out of hearing other people talk about it. Mm-hmm. I don't like to watch it. Not my favorite. Mm-hmm. Like, if a sex scene comes on in a movie, I'm like, all right, just let's go.
Is it because it's gross to you, or it's boring to you, or are you...
Very boring to watch. Endlessly entertaining to talk about, like, the logistics,
yeah,
and why y'all like this, and the weird stuff that goes on, the sounds, the smells, the noises. It's all great fun. The second it's, like, removed from, like, a general conversation, and it's like, this is sex as depicted in, I don't know, Game of Thrones, if you will. I'm like, God, this is boring. Why would anyone do this?
The way you talk about it sounds a little bit like talking about, I don't know, like if someone studies animals, like animals,
yeah,
having sex,
sure.
Like that's intellectually interesting, but also, yeah, like kind of ew.
Very. Yeah. No, like I also find animal sex sort of as a genre interesting in the same way,
right?
I find human sex interesting,
right? But you don't want to sit there and watch
both it. Gross, and I don't want to watch it,
right?
But if someone tells me about like a weird shaped animal penis, I'm like, yes, I do want to hear about that in detail. I don't want to look at it, but I, right, do want you to describe it vividly in detail and the weird things it does. So yeah, no, I have a weird relationship with sex. I even watch like I would call shows that are about sex. Like I just watched that Netflix show about BDSM work, bonding,
I think, yeah,
something like that. Yeah. And I'm like, this is entirely outside of my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. I don't understand BDSM. I barely understand sex. But I found the whole thing generally enjoyable and like a fascinating, it, like as an anthropologist or a, yeah, sociologist, kind of like, oh, these are humans. Like I'm like an alien man,
yeah,
in a human body. And I'm like, okay, I'm studying the human being and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am taking notes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what about romance? What about love stories? What about consuming that kind of content? What about talking about that kind of thing? How does that make you feel?
I guess there's like two parts of this. There's like the real people in my real life, and then there's like media. Mm-hmm. And the media one is really quick because I think it's so fucking boring.
Okay.
It's so boring. Like a friend of mine was like recently going through like fan fiction and like all the different ways you can like mush people together and you know all the reasons why you want to read about that, and it's just like this laundry list of like, I really like when there's a really tall man and a very smaller man and I like that. Or like I like when they both walk next to each other in a hallway in school and they don't like necessarily bump into each other, but they like look at each other longingly. And I'll read about that for 400 pages. So anyway, I think it's endlessly boring.
Okay.
None of it interests me. I'm generally interested in talking to my friends about their relationships because I'm emotionally invested in them. I want them all to be lovely, happy people. Mm-hmm. And so I will, it is something I do talk about, but it's not like, I don't think it's in the same way that I'm interested in talking about sex. Like, it's not like a learning experiment. It's okay. Just like taking a genuine interest in other people's lives.
Okay, so then let's go back to that thing you said earlier about you feel like maybe you don't really buy into the split attraction model anymore, maybe?
Yeah, we can do that. In general, it sort of builds on the stuff we were talking about before, where I think to be so incredibly, like, I feel very removed from things a lot of the time, when especially sex and romance. And for me, when I'm looking around and it's like, do I want, like, another, like, sex is out of the room. We're not talking about sex anymore. But do I want another, like, person to occupy any more of, like, my mental space than I do now? And the answer is no. 99% of the time. Sometimes I get lonely and my dog's in the other room and he won't come over and say hi. And I'm just like, please, anyone, sit next to me. Please. I'm begging you. And it doesn't happen and then I go to sleep and it's fine. So for me, like, it's very hard because I'm not anywhere on the sex is on or the romance is on spectrum. Like, I'm completely off. And I think it makes a lot more sense for the people who are like, I'm demisexual, I'm gray ace, I'm, the other one.
I don't know what the other one is.
I'm baby. I think then the split attraction makes a lot more sense because you have a gauge for the way you're interacting with the world. Like, if you're demi ace and you're homo romantic, this is a person now. I think it's a lot easier for you to be like, I want to take that guy out to a movie and never fuck him. Than it is for me to be like, do I even know what I want from this person? You know, on a, like, a romantic level. And then it sort of also goes into the other part of what is a romantic action? What is romance?
Yeah.
Like, there's a big part of me a lot of days that are like, romance is fake and doesn't exist. And people are just doing activities with selected people that they probably also have sex with.
So why do you think that such a tremendous number of people seem to think that romance is a real thing?
Probably because they understand it. And I'm sitting here, the anthropologist alien man, just sort of taking notes like, why will this person take this person to this restaurant and give this person flowers, but not this other person? Because, like, to me, it's all just like, I don't know, we all just doing stuff. Like, yeah, I could very easily do that with a friend.
Right.
Like, it's very hard for me to be like, especially when you don't have an established partner, when you don't have, like, this is my 2-year live-in boyfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're, like, going on dates. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking nebulous. It's so, like, is this a date? What kind of date? Are we going to have sex after this date? Are we going to hold hands in the car on the way home? Who's paying for dinner? Is that romantic if the boy pays for dinner? That seems sexist.
I mean, what I would say about that, and I am not any more of an expert than any human who has dated some people, but as far as I can make out, the early stages of dating are not really about love and romance as much as they are about faking it until you make it.
Okay.
Seriously. Like, yeah. you do, and I think a lot of things in life are that.
Fake it till you make it, yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that when you start out doing a thing or start out calling a thing something, it often isn't that until later, and it's just something that comes to be. So, like, for example, let's say you have a baby, which I will not, but...
Never. No, why would you?
But, like, if I were to have a baby, like, on the day that I had a baby, I could... I mean, I guess I could call myself a parent, but would I really be a parent, or would I be someone who had just popped out a baby?
Am I holding this baby in a hospital and I'm wearing the gown? Yeah.
Right. You know, like, I would be at that point, sure. More accurately, I would be a person who had given birth.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that makes sense.
And
yeah.
I'm going to call myself a parent starting at that point, but I probably won't really have an understanding of what it is to parent a child until quite a while later.
Until they're 18.
Well, you know, maybe not 18, but, you know, right? Like, I'm going to be faking it until I make it for, like, quite a while. And I think that relationships are similar, and I think that love is similar and romance is similar. So, there are different ways that relationships happen, right? So it's like sometimes you start from friends, right? And then you realize that you've fallen in love, and then you start calling it that. But sometimes, like, you start dating a person with the intent to see if you can, like, you know, like if you meet someone on Tinder or whatever.
As you do.
Supposedly, as people do. You know,
listen, I've had a Tinder. It's fine.
So, like, right, when you do that, you go on dates, and it's, like, sort of with the framework of romance or some sort of emotional connection, but that doesn't exist yet.
No, but you're, like, applying a tag of context
to it. And you're just going to keep faking it and see if it takes.
That's so weird.
And I think maybe, I don't know if that helps explain it at all a little bit. It's like, yeah, that doesn't really exist until later.
I mean, it certainly it certainly sheds some light on my own past, where it's just like, anytime I ended up in a relationship, A, it was in high school, which no one should do that. But B, it was always by accident.
Yeah.
I feel like what ended up happening to me specifically is I would become friends with someone, and then they were like, we're dating, right? And I'd be like, yep. Yeah, because I can't say no.
Right. Just in a blind panic.
Just absolutely shitting my ass. Just, yep. Sure are. Let's date for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so that certainly the just sort of, we're gonna call it this, and then if we have to revisit it, we'll break up.
Great.
sort of thing makes a lot of sense on for me specifically. So that's good.
And then when you went on that one random date in college, it was just, like, completely artificial.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Yeah. Like, I was just like, I'm a fresh-faced 22-year-old. I can drink at bars and go on dates. Here I go. and I was just a wreck. And then she was just like, I'm gonna go, after I stumbled my way through a few conversations. She faked an emergency. Anyway, we're not friends anymore, but it's fine. it's dating's weird, and it will always be weird. And it sounds like I'm not alone. It's weird for everyone.
Absolutely, dating is weird for everyone. Even
oddly comforting.
Yes,
yeah.
Dating is that's the thing. Like, dating is weird for everyone, even if you do experience romantic feelings. And as far as my experience and to my understanding, like, you don't feel actual romantic love feelings immediately
ever
with somebody, because what love has a lot more to do with is like actually knowing a person and knowing what your relationship with them is like. And when you first meet someone, the best you could do is guess.
Yikes.
Are there any components of love or of romance or any of that stuff that you feel like you do or you could experience or that you would want to experience?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, there's a general concept. I don't even think it's just in the A-spec community. It's sort of like broadens out to everyone who like can't find partners for whatever reason, of just like being not having access to like human touch. Non-sexual always. Mm-hmm. But just having a distinct lack of human touch where like sometimes you just like I kind of want a body here. Yeah. A warm, alive body who might chuckle at the thing we're watching once in a while. Just like there. 'Cause you can get a dog, and I have a dog. It's nice. Mm-hmm. He doesn't laugh at the same things that I laugh at. And it's just one of those things where, like, that part, like, that sharing experience thing that you can kind of only get from a live-in partner, I think, is something that I might want to rent for like a week out of the year when I'm extra lonely. Like hire an escort, but they're just like, listen, we don't have to do anything. You can wear pajamas. Just sit over there sort of near me. What do you like to watch? And then just go about my business the rest of the year.
But you have friends.
It's not the same.
Okay, this is interesting.
It's not the same. And you're right. Like, the thing I'm describing can easily be done and has been done, and we do now. But there's something not... it's not the whole picture, if you will. It's not the whole... There's like, a secret third part of it that's not there. There's something missing.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
But especially because I don't know how facetious you're being when you say, I would like to just hire an escort, but
only sort of.
Well, no, I mean, that's totally valid, but it does confuse me because I feel like that person would have less of an emotional investment in you than like I would.
Right. No, it can't be an escort. It'd have to be a real person. I just know myself.
Escorts are real people. Right?
I mean, like a real friend, like a real human that actually is in my life.
Yeah. Okay.
They're in that way. They're real. They're real. Christ. No, but it's. I know myself well enough to know that I don't want someone around all the time. It would drive me insane.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want a roommate?
Definitely don't. I've worked very hard to never have one.
Okay.
It would drive me insane. But like sometimes you just sit in there by yourself with your ungrateful dog and you just want more. Yeah, but it's not something that I would make any amount of sacrifice to achieve. It's sort of just one of those things where I'm compromising with myself, where it's just like you'll be miserable for like 50 weeks out of the year to feel kind of good for two of them.
That's very interesting. Okay, so let's try and break this down a little bit, and we can use me as an example because my feelings won't be hurt. So, like,
okay, good.
So, like, if I were to come and live with you for a week or 2 weeks.
I'm already overwhelmed. Sure,
What would be missing from that? Like, if in those one or two lonely weeks of the year, if I were to come and live with you, why is that not what you're looking for?
I think it's because at the end of the day, you're going to go somewhere else and be responsible to somebody else for their stuff, for their well-being, as much as a partner is responsible for another person's well-being, right?
Interesting.
And I think... I want... what do I want? I want... I think it's mostly just there's never anybody there who's like worried.
I'm actively worried.
Always?
Yeah, I'm always a little bit worried about you.
Okay, all right, good. Me too, but I'm just anxiety. This is hard to explain. Just to be like my person, like my human.
Mm-hmm.
This one, mine. Mm-hmm. But like not in a weird way, just like this one. We're each other's people.
I get it.
And it's like not something that I have, and most of the time I don't want that.
Hmm.
But sometimes I might.
That is really interesting.
I wish I could explain it better. Yeah. I think a big part of it that at least I use to sort of not justify, but to sort of like explain it to myself, where it's sort of like, I think there's a certain natural desire to like pair up as human beings, like to form
bonds,
community, however you want to look at it. And it's sort of like me and my lizard brain being like, find a mate.
Hmm.
You're losing time. Find a mate. You're old now and your dick will stop working. Find a mate. And then it's like me in the rational part of my brain that actually thinks it's like, no, I don't need that. You're just trying to make me feel bad on purpose, lizard brain. And so, which is why, like, 2 weeks out of the year, I might get a little lonelier. And then the rest of the time, it's very fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very content.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like I'm actively fighting, I don't know, biology.
Yeah.
Mixed with culture,
yeah,
if you will. And then I can be satisfied.
What if I'm still trying to distill this? Okay, what if I
get the nugget?
What if I were otherwise single? What if I wasn't dating anybody, and I came over 1 or 2 weeks out of the year and stayed with you? Would that do it?
No, because it's the same as before. It's just you're lonely now.
Well, but I thought, but no, because before you said that your issue was that I have somebody else that I'm going to go back home to ultimately. But what
I think there's an associated level of guilt with being like, no, 50 weeks out of the year, I don't want you. Please go. I think there's to where I can't do that to you because I'm not a shit person, I hope. So I don't think there's anyone who could actually solve my problem.
Interesting.
Problem.
Yeah.
Big air quotes. And I do think it's mostly just my lizard brain telling me to find a mate. Your dick's gonna fall off if you don't use it.
Huh. That was really fun. I was like trying to figure out like potential solutions to this, and I'm like, what if you were to have a kid? No, you don't want to have a kid. Okay, what if
definitely
you were
no.
to, then my brain goes, what if, okay, maybe that's not the right family member. What if you were to adopt a brother?
I mean, it would certainly do a heck of a lot better than any of my actual real brothers that I already have. Maybe they would not be weird. Impossible for me to
go adopt a brother.
Just go to Big Brother little Brother. Is that what that organization's called? Big Brother, Big Sister, whatever, that, you know, the one where they assign you a brother for a short period of time.
Yeah, 2 weeks out of the year.
Perfect. I think they want a more of a mentory role, and I'm really just looking for someone to console me when I'm lonely.
You can be the little brother.
Can I sign up to be a little brother at 29 years old?
Try it.
Excuse me. I would like to become a little brother. Sir, you're 29. Yes, but sometimes I'm sad and I would like an ice cream.
Okay, but I'm baby.
Okay, but sir, to be fair, I'm baby. And I would like to be the little brother. I would like an ice cream. I would like to go to a baseball game, even though I don't like those.
Okay.
I want the full little brother experience.
All right. I am going to ask you something else, which I happen to know about outside the context of this conversation, which is that you have been known to say that you would like to have a boyfriend.
Sir, it's on the record that you would enjoy a boyfriend.
Yeah, and again, I know that you're sort of, in some sense, kidding, but also it's that not, you're not kidding, and
I'm
I want to know what you
mean. No, I'm not kidding. Well, okay, I am kidding. Like, I don't want one. The thing I want is this sort of leans into some, I guess, gender stuff for me.
Okay.
Maybe. But the thing I want is to be the opposite of all the things I am, which is small and taken care of.
Yeah.
I sort of, it's because that, I think that sort of is part of the other thing where I get lonely. I would also like to be small and taken care of.
Yeah.
And I want to wear his jacket. I want him to be like, oh, honey, are you cold? And I get his jacket. Like, I want, that's the stuff that I want.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, feel small
mm-hmm.
next to somebody else. There's sort of, like, a part of having a boyfriend
yeah.
for me, which is, like, this is very bottom energy of me, but it's I want to feel like the little spoon. I want to feel like I'm being placed upon a pedestal very gently
yeah.
as a priceless work of art.
Yes.
And I feel like this is the responsibility of a boyfriend. Big air quotes around boyfriend. Because I think there are many of other kinds of people who could fulfill this role.
Uh-huh.
But it's, I guess, the classical yes. 1950s version of a boyfriend.
I get it 1,000%.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it is in you the desire to take care of somebody else?
No, I'm very selfish.
Yeah, I mean, same. well, I mean, but also you do have a dog. That you take care
right.
of.
Right, and he is ungrateful to this day. I think I do this in very small but manageable ways for me. I have a small group of people who I sort of sprinkle my caringness
yes.
around. A, so no one is overwhelmed, because it would be weird. And two, I don't always have enough mental and physical energy to want to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might just get a little bit now and again. You're like, oh, Ryan cares. Look. And I do. It's just sometimes I'm tired. I don't have a big of a drive to be caring for other people
mm-hmm.
as I do to want to be coddled and taken care of.
But it also could be that as a single person living alone and being
yes.
asexual, that it is harder to come by that being taken care of feeling.
It's very tricky, yeah. Short of like my mom,
right.
who there's a certain point where you're like, no, I don't want any more mom energy. I'm good.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where you're like, no, I wish I could have a boyfriend and he would take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of vibe that I sometimes think, and I think it plays into what I will now coin the 2 weeks of loneliness. I think that also is part of that.
No, I think you're really on to something, though, and I think that those things are related, and I also think that we might be tapping into something here about just, like, very general human instinct urges that are
yeah.
hard to turn off no matter how individual a person you are.
Right, I think there are base drivers that will, in some way or another, manifest
yeah.
in every person, no matter what where you lie on different spectrums.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I think that, like, pretty much everybody has, like, at least some amount of wanting to care for and protect and coddle other humans, and they also want that in return.
Right, because it's nice.
Yeah, like both of those things are nice. Yeah. And I think, as far as I can tell, pretty much everybody wants both of those things to some extent.
Right. And in different ways, but different ways. Yeah.
And so then, like, no matter how we identify or present, if we are, like, severely lacking in one or both of those things, we might feel that desire at least a little bit.
Right.
And I also think that, like, you know, especially in the LGBTQ community, a lot of us are very about labeling ourselves, and like I certainly am, and I know that you are to a certain extent. I mean, we both have a number of labels that we self-describe with, and I think those things are valuable because they help us find a place in the world, they help us find community, they help us explain our experience to people who might not have that experience. And so that's why in this day and age I can't fully advocate for just like throwing away all labels, even though I think in the long run that would be pretty cool.
That's the future I see. I don't know if I'll be alive then, right, but that is like the eventuality of it.
That's exactly where I am. And like, but I do think that like the price that we pay for those labels is that we sometimes try to force ourselves to be only one thing.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like if you decide that you are a boy, you might end up like slotting yourself into that boyfriend role all the time when like sometimes maybe you just want somebody else to be the goddamn boyfriend.
Yeah. And that's also part of my big air quotes, I want a boyfriend thing is just sort of like, sometimes I don't always feel like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a boy, and boy, do I sound like a boy. But there's a lot of times where like I have I don't know how it manifests or how it presents, but I feel like a visceral like, ugh, they called me sir.
Mm.
Like I'm some kind of man. which is true. But like I have that sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if this is also part of like, I'm trying to like disassociate like my own gender from my own like human interactions and human desires. And maybe like if I put enough of my eggs in a less defined gender basket, I will then also have more eggs in other baskets, and then like the stars will align and a boyfriend will appear. I'm not looking for it, but as it's been over the course of my life, probably at some point I will end up in some kind of weird relationship. Probably. Things just kind of happen to me.
Huh.
So I, which is why I'm not going to rule it out. It's sort of why I've gone away from using distinct labels and just sort of be like, I'm queer.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's, I guess there's less I have to explain to other people if I all of a sudden decide to do something wild and crazy. I'm waving my hands in excitement. I think that's part of this sort of self-identifying journey that I've been on for I don't know, 3 years at this point. And I don't know where I haven't put a pin in it yet. It still feels very fluid and messy.
That's really interesting too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like the term queer is like, obviously it means different things to different people. And I think that for some, it is almost frustrating because it's so nonspecific. But that's also the beauty of it.
I do get mad at other people who just use queer, and I'm like, I want to know what you like. Do you like boys? I want to know. Do you sometimes wear a dress? I want to know. I am the shit that I say, I guess, mm-hmm. where I'm just like, well, I'm going to be queer, and you can't assume anything about me now.
Yeah.
Which is not what I expect from other people who need to have a laundry list of labels in their Twitter profile so that I may know that they like to date boys and wear nail polish sometimes.
Look, they owe you this information.
They owe me this.
Just you. Nobody else, but you specifically.
No, just for me. Just for me. There's a census that I run, and it's just all the labels you would use next to your name and your address, and then I know.
But yeah, I think that's really interesting that you're actually, like, I feel like you're using the term queer to, like, hedge your bets. That's so funny. No, but you know what? This is the other thing about labels, though. Like, you know, when you pick one, sometimes you feel the pressure to stick to it, or other people put pressure on you to stick to it, and, like, give you a whole problem if you decide to change your mind, and then it's a whole thing and you have to come out or something.
There would be a small subset of the internet who might go up in arms were I to announce tomorrow I am not asexual. Mm-hmm. There would probably be just riots in the street. Just pitchforks and torches outside my door. Don't bang anyone as they knock on my door.
And at the very least, some of your friends might go, oh,
that's cool.
And sometimes
that's neat.
And sometimes you don't even want that reaction, though. Like,
no, sometimes I just want to be in my own little bubble. Yeah. And no one knows a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I do podcasts, so that nobody knows anything about me. But yeah, it's definitely a thing to be like, I want to be in my own little sphere. Where I can be like whatever I want on any day that I want.
Next time on Edges.
And later there were more kisses and things along those lines, but it was always a gentle kind of exploration. Z did not like being touched initially at all by anyone. And so my part of the physical part of our relationship was basically earning intimacy, like being a trustworthy enough person that this person would actually want to hold my hand or lean on me.
If you want to support Edges, the best ways to do that are to leave a rating or review on iTunes, follow the show on Twitter at Edges Podcast, or pledge to the show's Patreon by going to patreon.com/edgespodcast. That's patreon.com/edgespodcast. For $2 per episode, you'll receive a thank you in the show notes. For $4, you'll receive episodes 2 days early. For $7, you'll access bonus material that I cut from the episode. And for $10, you'll hear me thank you by name in these closing credits. If you want the show to continue to exist, please consider supporting the show in whatever way you can, as I literally cannot do it without you. Thank you to my Patreon supporters, Angel Acevedo, Benjamin Redman, Caroline Seidman, Colby Rowan, Froya, Garrett M., Jack, Red L., and Reese. I really appreciate you sticking with the show, and your support means so much to me. On Twitter, Luna the Little Dragon, at Little Dragon Luna, says, I just binged Edge's podcast in about 3 days because I needed something to fill the time I needed to digest the end of season 2 of the Juniverse. It's enlightening and entertaining and beautifully queer. If it's still going in a year, I will absolutely join the Patreon. Hi, Luna. I've been really hoping that Edge's can fill in where the Penumbra can't, so I'm really happy to hear that it's done that for you. In this week's bonus track, Ryan and I talk about, you guessed it, gender. The Edges logo is by Alice Chung, and original music is by Ryan Vibert. Edges Podcast is created and produced by me, Sophie Kaner.